And I just want to say this to you. I wouldn't want anybody standing in front of me teaching me how to be whole and well that was sick all the time. And I'm just going to be honest for a few minutes. I'm just going to show out. I wouldn't want anybody busted, disgusted, and couldn't even be trusted trying to tell me how to live debt-free. Now, I want to say that this church was founded on the principle of being debt-free. My family, me and Millie first, we lived debt-free. I'm so proud of Millie. She took the principles that are in this Bible right here, and she just bought a brand new car and paid cash for it. You know what? I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed. You want somebody broke up here? You want somebody that's busted, disgusted, can't even be trusted, sick? Well, let's get into the Word. I think I've worn that one out. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 23 and verse 14. And I'm going to give you a word from the Word. Amen. That's the place, the best place to get a word is from the Word. And thank you, Father, for your Word. Lord, your Word is already blessed. Cause us to be blessed by perceiving and receiving your Word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. And behold, this day, I am going the way of all the earth. This is Joshua. At the end of Joshua, he's getting ready to die. He's lived 110 years. He was a powerful man. No enemy stood before his face all the days of his life. And he's saying, behold, this day, I'm going the way of all the earth, and you shall, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed. Everything that I told you, everything that God promised us has come to pass. Not some of them, or most of them, or half of them, every last one of them. Every last one of them has come to pass. And what does that mean to us all these years later? They can, every one of them can come to pass for you. Every one of them has come to pass for me. Now, I've failed God at times, but God has never failed me. Not one time. Never. Never failed me. And it gets me excited still at 71 years old to stand up here and preach the Word, because the Word's still true. Amen? And the most important thing is not what's happening behind this pulpit. It's what's happening in the pew. This Word is for you. These promises are for you. They're for anybody, whosoever. They're for anybody. And they're for everybody. Not one thing in his lifetime had failed, and he let everybody in Israel know, God's never failed you. And the Lord has never failed me. And let's go back to the beginning of Joshua's rule. Let's go back to the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is probably going to be a quick message. This is easy. I'm just going to put it out there. And just like a bunch of pigeons in the park, if you're hungry, you'll come up and you'll eat some of it. If not, well, it's put out there anyway. Okay, I needed Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Thank you. You want me to? Okay, these are the instructions that God gave to Joshua, and I'm going to explain in a little bit of detail on this here for the listener. And if you need to hear this again, I think we're recording this. Is that right, fellas? Good. and you'll be able to hear it if you want, if it's important to you. I've listened for many, many years over and over to different people's messages, people that knew what they were talking about. And I'm going to share some things with you. You might not have heard of in a while. You might never have heard of. But this book of the law, this is God talking to Joshua, shall not depart out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. It shall not depart out of your mouth. And if you're going to know the word, you're going to have to learn how to speak the word out of your mouth. You're going to have to learn to pray the promises of God out of your mouth. Whether you're somebody looking for a relationship with the right person, or somebody looking for the right job or the right situation, it's in the word of God. This is how God proves himself to his people. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Everybody say meditate. Therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And then it's the next thing it says is, you're going to meditate on this day and night. Now, the idea of out of your mouth and meditation, it comes together there. To meditate in this particular place means to do the one thing that I've done for many, many years. To know the promises of God and speak them. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. See, thy word have I hid in my heart. What have you got hidden in your heart? Most people I know can do more movie storylines and more southern music lines than they can Bible verses. And then that's the result that you get. That's all that you get. But what God is looking for, the promise is to the person who will meditate on the word of God. And that word there, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can't ain't in my vocabulary. I can do whatever's in front of me. Romans 8:28, no matter what I'm going through. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Thou shalt meditate on these. That word there, meditate, means to when something comes up in your life, I'm not asking you to be concerned for anybody else's life. I'm asking you to be concerned for your life. And I can look you in the eye and tell you, and I've lived it before you since 1987, May of 1987. The most important thing you can do is know the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And let me tell you something. If you're broke, that's not the ultimate scriptural freedom for you. I was so poor as a child, I would cry myself to sleep at night just to have a glass of milk. And many, many nights I went to bed without having one. But you know, by the time I was 19 years old, I was already had as many demons in me as I wanted, had enough drug, sex, and rock and roll that I know that none of that was going to work for me. It just made me crazy and suicidal. And at my mother's kitchen table, when I was in 1971, a man led me to the Lord. And from that day forward, it changed my life. Have I been perfect? No. I've let the Lord down many times. But don't get too upset, because so have you. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody in this room not me either, can say that God has ever let you down. God will take you as far as you've taken him. If you think there's something more important than knowing and meditating on the Word of God like it says to do here, you're wrong. You're just wrong. It doesn't matter who you are. God will do anything that you can believe him for, and the things that you can believe him for is the things that you've sought out the answer. You have a problem, okay? How many of you got a problem and a mobile phone? How many of you got that? Just about everybody. Some people ain't voting, but they don't count. You just say, hey, Siri, give me some Bible verses on how to get healed. And then you just write them down. You write them on your refrigerator. You write them in the bathroom like Kelly talked about mom here doing. You write them all over your house. Because see, that's the importance of your life. Nothing else is more important. When nothing else is more important than God in your life and you've been taught how to act on it, you'll do great. And I say that touch is in this church. How many of you here regularly you have answered prayer in your life? Put your hand up. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. That's right. You know what? But you've been taught here, haven't you? That's what we haven't fooled around. I used to like what Emmett Spencer would say. You know, you can do a bunch of talking about it, but we're going to have to see some things. Let's see if we can see some things tonight. And that's just the truth of it. It doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. The Word of God and the promises of God work. And the way that you meditate on the promises of God is you pick a promise and then you call it out till you can quote that thing, till you know where it is. That you know that it's yours, yours, and yours. Amen? Well, let me, like I said, this isn't going to be long. It just doesn't have to be long. I've got some things here I want to share with you on just that one thought, to meditate on the Word of God. Here's how you meditate on the Word of God. First of all, you choose a promise from the Bible. You know what? If you're desperate enough and you're starting to think right, you'll find some Bible verses on any kind of a problem that you have. First of all, you find a promise from the Word of God that meets your need. Number two, you open the Bible. You look at the context of the promise. And you discover the condition on which the promise is given. Promises in the Bible, what I'm saying is, I'll do this if you'll do that. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Not maybe, or we're wondering. If you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God return it to your bosom through men, through other people. For with the same measure you give, now, if I had 5 grains of corn in my hand right here, I could not expect to plant 10 acres of corn with that, could I? No, I had to have the appropriate amount. And you've got to find out what is the appropriate amount that what you're looking for. That's funny. If you'll talk to God, he'll tell you. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men return it to your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, that's what you're going to get. What does that mean? There is a certain amount of corn that it takes to plant 10 acres of corn, and it's more than 5 grains. How much is it? I don't know. I'm not worried about that. You get the idea. And that's what you've got to figure out in life. Because see, God hasn't failed anybody in this room, and God never will. He wants people. He wants sons and daughters that will take him at his promise and look up the promises and go and flow with the promises. Choose a promise from God's word. Look at the contexts in which this promise is found and discover the condition on which the promise is given. What does it take? According to the Bible, what does the Bible say that I need to do? What's my part? I guarantee you, our part is the smaller part. If you continue in my word, I don't know what was wrong with me, but when I got saved, when I was 19 years old, I just started continuing in God's word. I was so messed up, I locked myself in my bedroom for 6 months and just did nothing to read that Bible. And I read that Bible, and I read that Bible, and I read that Bible, till that Bible started reading me. And it let me know just exactly where I was. And you know what? I had some moving and changing to do. I'm not talking about living a perfect sinless life, because I'd be a hypocrite, because I haven't. But there are things that make you a child of God. How many of you would punish your children real harshly just because they didn't do what you said? I won't do mine that way. And God won't do you that way. God will wait for you your entire life if that's what you need, if that's what you think you want to do. But for every person that's hearing this message, that'll act on the word, that'll find that promise and meet the requirement. What does the Bible say the requirement is for healing is in this verse? See, and there are dozens and dozens of verses on healing, on relationships, he that finds a wife. See, nowhere in this Bible say that the woman is supposed to try to find a man. She's supposed to find God. Get with God, for goodness sake. Become a woman of God, and God will make sure. Am I lying? God will make sure he'll give you a man. Here's a child right here. She's still a child as old as I am. You could be my grandkid, for God's sake. One time, many years ago, Kayla was working in the ministry with us, and she was going between two churches. You remember that? Can I tell this? And this is what I told Kayla. I didn't tell her where to go to church. I just said, Kayla, maybe you ought to go to church over there. I said, why don't you pray and find out if that's your church, you know? And we waited a while, and she said, Brother Angelo, no, this is my church. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something then. When this church is open, you need to be here. And if anybody's too arrogant and haughty and rebellious to receive that, but she wasn't. This was before she had any kids. This is before she ever met Mikey. You're married to Mikey, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay. You were looking at me like the Alzheimer Express was trying to catch up with me right tonight. I said, well, this is what you need to do then, Kayla. If this is your church. See, I let her figure it out for herself. I said, you need to be at church when we're... I said, I'm not saying you can't go to another church, as long as not when we're having church. See? I don't want you to support somebody else's revival when we're having a revival. Now, if there's anybody in this room that thinks that's too hard, this ain't for you. You ain't never going to get this. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Kayla said, I'm just going to do that. I never had to say anything to her again. Not one time. Never had to say anything to her again. And in due time, it was after that, several years. Was it several years after? Yeah. All of a sudden, Mikey Patterson found her. Now, here's the thing. Girls, don't be out there trying to find a husband. Be out there trying to be a woman of God. And see, why should you do what you're not, try to do what you're not called to do? Mary Baker, the same way. And Kayla just simply did what she, and then Mikey found her, and Mikey started coming to church. And I told, be careful of him. But you know, who wouldn't love Mikey once you get to, I mean, really, who wouldn't love Mikey? And Mikey's a perfect man. He that findeth a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. And you know, here's a woman with three kids. Sometimes she brings all three of them to church, but she's very seldom misses. She just, you know what? And that's nothing that, that's what God did inside of her. Just like that's what God did inside of her. Nobody has to pay me or tell me or beg me or threaten me to come to church. That's just what I do. That's just who I am. I take that after Jesus when I read, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue. It was, that's what he did. That's just what he did. But anyhow, you can, so if anybody, if any woman wants a husband, there's other things you need to do, but searching for one really isn't one of them necessarily. Okay, I'm going to take this a little further. Choose a promise from God's Bible. Look at the context in which this promise is found and discover the condition. There's a condition. There's all kinds of conditions, aren't there, Jill? There's all kinds of conditions. You could be using the wrong condition for the wrong deal. I just walked in to see what condition your condition. Anybody remember that song? Man, you old if you remember that. I remember it. I might be the only one in this room that does. But you look for the, to every promise, there's a little something that you're going to have to, and I don't mean you have to live a life without sin, because that's impossible. From cover to cover, the Word says, that's why we need a Savior and a forgiver. Jesus is initially your Savior, and then he's your forgiver while you're in this life. What about in the next life? I'm not sure, but I think there too. For it is written, he ever lives to make intercession. He ever lives to make intercession for those who are heirs of salvation. See, that's where I get my views. Where do you get your views? I ask that to people all the time. They get, some of them get mad. Some of them just don't want to talk about it anymore. And some of them say, no, show me. Show me how I should. And then, fourthly, commit the promise to God by reminding him of his promise. And you too will say, all has come to pass. God has not failed you. He said that to Israel, Joshua. Moses lived to be 120 years old. Joshua was about 19 years old when he started messing with, when Moses started messing with him. He was about between 50 and 60 years old when he took on the leadership, the next judge of Israel after Moses. And he did that all of his life, as we just read at the end of the book. And then we read right to the beginning of the book. Meditate. How many of you, I've explained what it means to meditate on the word good enough that you understand it right now by the showing of your hands. I was hoping I'd get some of you. Yeah. Good. Good, 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 good. Now, the Word of God is like a recipe from a cookbook. Whoever picks it up and follows the instructions, they're going to get the same result, you see. That's all we have to do. But I guarantee you, you have to do that. It's not that you're good enough, because none of us are good enough, see. It's not that we did great today. No, it's because we believed him. We treated him like he was a dad to us. The kids that I took and raised that weren't mine, they treat me like I'm a dad to them. And when we get together, they're there with us. Thanksgiving, Christmas, bless God, and Easter this time. And then we had Mother's Day at the church here, and they were all here. They were all invited. And my kids know that I'm not perfect, but they know what they can expect from me. That's for sure. And you want your children to know what they can expect from you. The last place I want to turn is Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Hallelujah. These are the parting words of Joshua to the people of God. He died shortly after. And these are Joshua's words right here. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's a choice. Right in that verse, and there where it says choose, it's a choice. Now, this is what I found. This is the truth. It's not a one-time choice. It's every day, many times in a day, by what we do and don't do. We have to get to where the most important thing, don't let your goal be to be sinless. Let your goal be to be a child of God, that you can talk to him like a... I'll tell you one thing about my kids. They could talk to me like I was their dad. They trusted me enough and everything with me. I fell asleep at times, and they put makeup all over my face. I was just listening to some of the things. Sylvester Stallone has three daughters, and they're telling about what they did to their dad, and they kid with him. They call him Sly, and they have fun. But he's their dad. He's not a make-believe dad in any way. He's their dad. And I had a great big help in my life. I didn't have a dad. I saw my dad when I was 12 years old. The next time I saw him, I was 32 years old. Took Casey and we didn't have Kelly yet, went up to Chicago and saw him. And I didn't have a dad. He didn't treat me like a son. I was indifferent to him. He died about 1989, New Year's Day. I've yet to cry about that. He didn't put anything in me. You see what I mean? And I honor him. I'm glad that I had somebody to use their seed to get me here. I don't know what else to say. But the most important word in this verse is choose you this day. We're about to take communion. I don't have any altar calls for you. This isn't that kind of a, this is the kind of thing when you get down and examine your heart before God. Why do we do that? Because that's the way the Bible says to take communion. Is to make that choice. When you go to bed tonight, make that choice again. Keep making that choice that you're going to be a child of God. You're going to live closer to God. You're going to try to make God happy. You're going to try to walk in the flow. Romans 8:14, what does it say? As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. See? And if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're led by a different spirit. And that's why so many people die so young. Not all, but some of them, that's why. There's different reasons why things happen. But there's a multitude of people out there. I was just talking, me and Millie were talking about this the other day. They don't know God. They don't know God at all. And let me tell you something. The more you know about who God is and who God is to you and what his promises say to you, the longer you could possibly live in this life, unless you're called to be a martyr. Unless God's purpose is to take you out of here for a reason. Could there be a reason? Yes, there could. What could be the reason? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just one of the people that love him. I got saved when I was 19. I wish I would have got saved when I was her age. I really do. I wish I would have got saved then. Well, listen, I'm leaving the word. I'm just leaving it out there for you to do with whatever you think is best. But for those of you that will take communion tonight, you can make an altar where you are, or you can come to the altar and think about what I said. Think about whether it's true. And let's take communion together.